Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. After the death of Terrence Crutcher, the international watchdog group Human Rights Watch sent a researcher to Tulsa to investigate whether or not there were systemic human rights abuses in law enforcement. The report generated from that research is expected in September. In anticipation of that report, recently, Deputy Chief of Police Jonathan Brooks and Public Information Officer Sergeant Shane Toole sat down for a one-hour interview about the Tulsa Police Department, their goals, and their challenges. This is the interview in its entirety.
By way of background, I was first pinged by Human Rights Watch, I want to say in March, about this report that they were going to be generating about the Tulsa Police Department and policing, community policing, and basically race relations in Tulsa. And so they came in and we sat down for a very vague and, the interview is just sort of, yeah, we're doing this report. I don't know what's in it. I don't know what it's going to say. I don't know if you know what it's going to say, but I do know that they spoke with you in particular. And I know that the city has really been dealing with, the equality indicators, the community policing, and you're kind of the cowboy in charge of that rodeo in many ways. True?
Yeah. Yes, that is true. There's been a lot of meetings going on with the equality indicators, and the Human Rights Watch actually, we heard they were in town and we reached out to them. And John Raffling, I've personally had several meetings with him, and looking at the work they're doing and the investigation work that they doing in the community, because that's how I heard about it. And so we took that as an opportunity to meet with him and explain some of the data. We gave them our Tulsa Police data because we do that with everybody we partner with or work with, or they request it actually. Because we feel that transparency is our number one friend when we're working with everybody. So police data has a lot of wealth of information embedded in it. And so we provided them many years' worth of our data.
What kind of data? Like crime statistics, number of personnel, equipment? What were they looking for? What did they get?
Yes, all that. Actually, the bulk of our data, when we talk about police data, the bulk of it is about arrest data, like the call types that officers go on, how many calls, how many reports we take every year, how many victims are, how many arrests the Tulsa Police Department makes. And as of most recently, going back to the City Council's special meeting on equality indicators last week is use of force as well. We keep a substantial amount of records on that. And then you mentioned personnel, how many officers, the diversity of our department, the training records. I mean, there's just a wealth of data, records, and information that we have that we maintain.
And all of this happily now digitized and shareable, I guess. Not as hard as digging through warehouses full of boxes of records and stuff. So were they, and you said you approached them, you volunteered this, like found out that they were in town and said, hey, we're happy to cooperate.
Yes. Yes, we did. It started with one of our very first meetings just to meet and know who we're talking with. And we sat down. In fact, we had several sit downs with them after they received the data. They formulated a list of questions because the data is complex and confusing all at the same time. And so some of it needs explanation because without context, sometimes the data doesn't tell the whole story.
One of my favorite quotes of all time was Mark Twain. There are lies, damned lies, and statistics. When you just have raw numbers, right, you can spin them a lot of different directions. So you wanted to provide some context to what they were seeing.
Yeah, because one of the things that they're looking at is the community policing effort in Tulsa, or sometimes referred to as the lack of community policing effort. And we wanted to elaborate on the mountains of work that the men and women on the streets have been doing and this department's been doing to really push our community policing efforts forward with the support of the mayor.
And We'll get into more of that in a little bit, but let's back up for a second. You were talking about the Equality Indicators meeting. Can you explain what's an equality indicator? What is that? And why is that a topic of pretty intense focus on the part of the city right now?
So one of the things the city of Tulsa in whole did was they looked at part of the Chief Resiliency Program and being one of the 100 resilient cities in America, and more specifically, one of the six that are looking at quality indicators, is they did a pretty comprehensive study of certain benchmarks in the city of Tulsa. They've produced those reports, and this is the second report that's now out, and they're all online, so anybody can go look at them. And those equality indicators range from many different topics, and they're organized into themes. They range from education to housing to public health to services. And our focus, which is really what the police department focuses on, is the justice component.
So an equality indicator, I guess, indicates how equally people get treated regardless of what, gender, ethnicity, income, what parameters are they looking at here?
Well, yes, it does include all those. So they look at the equality between genders, between race, ethnicity, location, access to services, schools, and even healthcare and access to healthcare. So they look at all those things, and the reasoning behind that is to make sure that if there's any perceived or real disparity in being able to receive education, healthcare, et cetera, or housing or police access, we're able to identify those and start addressing those.
And have they identified some problems? Because there's one statistic that I hear a lot about, longevity. People literally, if they live north of 244, having a shorter lifespan.
Yes, that is actually one of the indicators. I believe that one falls under the health, public health component, one of the themes of there. And it talks about, and you may have heard Mayor Bynum speak on it as well, about the longevity difference between someone that lives in North Tulsa as opposed to Midtown South Tulsa.
Right.
I can't tell you the exact years because I don't remember, but there's a distinct difference in the longevity of a person.
So that's an equality indicator that obviously we need to work on. And I'm guessing there might have been others.
Oh, yes. There's many others. I can give you the exact number, but there's on the order of probably close to, I would say, about at least 55 or 60 indicators that they measured in Tulsa. So each one of those is a different component that they measure.
Right. And it would take us hours to drill down into all the details on that.
Oh, my, yes.
And you've spent a lot of time looking over this data, especially, of course, as it pertains to the Tulsa Police Department. And what do you suspect? Because here's the thing. They told me about a month ago or so when I really decided, okay, I need to start working on this. I contacted Shane. Shane contacted you, and we talked about, sitting down for this conversation. And at that point, they told me that they plan to release this report on the third anniversary of Terrence Crutcher's death. We all know that was a big old red ball and a terrible situation that continues to sort of reverberate a little bit. That seemed to me like, talking about indicators, that seemed to me like an indicator that this report might be kind of critical. Do you know or do you suspect what it's going to say?
No, I don't know what the actual report from the Human Rights Watch report is going to say. Mm-hmm. I know that they're looking at different areas in regards to policing. They're looking at some of our arrest data. They are looking at everything that we're doing in community policing. They've had access to, we have a dashboard that is online at the City of Tulsa and the Tulsa Police Department's websites that kind of tracks our progress on our efforts on community policing. Because when Mayor Bynum took office, one of his initiatives was he created our local community policing task force. And various individuals, business leaders, community leaders, faith leaders, leaders were selected to be a part of this task force, and he assembled that task force. And the one thing that came out of that was a basic framework for us to get started. And that falls back to President Obama's 21st Century on Policing. There was a comprehensive report that started in 2015 with that. And it was a nationwide effort. And the final component was that the president's task force put together about 77 recommendations for police departments across this country to work on and to obtain to, you know, improve their police departments. And that was the mutually agreed upon from every major law enforcement city to even individuals in the academic world that revolve around criminal justice. So we were actually the first city to undertake that task of trying to tackle all 77 recommendations.
First in the country.
Yes, the first. And as of right now, I think there may be a couple others, but I don't think anybody has made as much progress as the Tulsa Police Department. Because if you look at our dashboard, there was a little confusion about this on last Wednesday's meeting. We actually have completed 97% of those 77 recommendations. And that last 3% is something that we're working really hard on to make sure that we can get to 100%. Now, just because we get to 100% doesn't mean that we're not going to stop working on those. This isn't a checklist, right? And that, and you'll see that on our dashboard, because when we say it's done, it's ongoing. So when we achieve one of those accomplishments, we're still focusing on that.
In other words, you're saying, you know, we haven't solved this particular issue, this one of the 77 things, but it is something that we have taken steps to address, and we are working on it, and we'll continue to work on it.
Yeah, that's those 3%. The 97% are ones that we have completed, and we're going to continually keep improving on it beyond what was even recommended.
What, from your perspective, and you've been with TPD how long?
I've been with Tulsa Police for 21 years.
So, and you started on the street as an officer on patrol and have worked your way all the way through the ranks. So when you looked at that list of 77 things, was there anything on there that you went, oh my God, how are we going to do that? Or, wow, that's something we need to do immediately. Anything that jumped out to you?
Yes, there was a lot of things that jumped out. Some of them I was like, well, this is easy. We've been doing this for quite a while. But then you have to think for just a minute. You know, the Tulsa Police Department, we're full of, you know, every officer has a bachelor's degree. And so we tout our education and we try to use that. So not every police organization across this United States has that luxury, nor do they have the support that we have or the other capabilities. So other departments are at a disadvantage. And so some of them were very easy. Some of them were like, whoa, this is going to take us a while. Some of them are out of our control, and that's that 3%, because it requires us to partner with, say, for example, Tulsa Public Schools. Since they have their own police department, that makes it a little bit more difficult for the Tulsa police to be directly involved in a disciplinary process in the school. And so we've partnered with them, and we're working on it. We've helped with the behavioral response plan that they've instituted, and we're getting very close to checking off those few items in that area. And then there's others that just, you know, make common sense to even the average person. When you look at it, you know, well, I would expect my police to do that, right? And so those are some of the ones that were already checked off. We were a little at advantage, though, because Chief Jordan and myself had the opportunity to be involved in the president's task force early on. In fact, we made a trip to Washington, D.C. in the White House to discuss it early, many years ago. So we actually were already working on these before the report was published. And so that's one thing that helped push us a little further ahead as well.
And it's very cool that Tulsa and TPD are kind of leading the charge on these 77 recommendations. I think that's cool. Now, when Human Rights Watch, when I spoke to them, they kind of, I don't know that they made it crystal clear, but what he basically told me was, we're not just looking at Tulsa. We're looking at policing in America, Tulsa as an example. And what kind of advice or what have you seen from what you've been able to do since you started addressing some of these issues, would you think other cities would want to prioritize, or is it different for every community? Is every community so different that you can't sort of generalize some of this?
Well, the one thing that we realized real quick is, you know, it's good to focus on those because there are a lot of best practices in there. But also you have to keep in mind what our real purpose is and what the real purpose of law enforcement, and that, you know, and we go back to the very basics of protect and serve. And so to serve the community, you have to have that relationship and partnership with them and everybody you serve to make sure you're effective. So the one thing I would say to any other police department across this country is, before you start an endeavor, make sure, one, it's in the best interest of the people you serve, because you don't want to put a lot of work into something that is not going to be beneficial to your community, your city, or anything of that nature. So having that buy-in, and that's the whole purpose of having that, the mayor's task force, because we wanted to do this and those 77 recommendations, but if the community didn't, then we would probably take a different approach and work on what was requested of us.
So there was recently a situation, I think it's at the Town Square.
Yes.
I want to say Town Square Apartments, where, you know, some members of the gang unit were out there, and I've done a ride along with Sergeant Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating what those guys do and how they do it and how they spot things that, you know, me as a civilian, I would never see. Really interesting evening. Anyway, I don't know that he was there, but some members of the gang unit were there, and they went in and, you know, saw a group of kids around a car and went over to ask what was going on and everything. And there were accusations that they were harassing people and this and that. And actually, as it turns out, the mayor was doing a ride along that night. He saw it differently. But I guess what I'm driving at is, you know, do you have buy-in from that community? And when I say that community, unfortunately, you know, Tulsa's kind of divided into north, south, east, and west in some ways. And in that part of town, you know, police aren't always a welcome sight. And there are part that 61st and Peoria would be another example of an area that has historically had a lot of problems. So, are, you know, do you feel like the message is getting through from you to them, and is what they're saying making any difference in your approach?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I go back to say that if we're not listening to our community, it reduces our effectiveness. At the same time, we also have a job to do. So, and one of those jobs, and specifically like in Town Square that we're talking about, is we have to look at how many victims have called 911 and look at why we're going there. And if you look at that, and then that there's a certain residents that do want us there to provide their safe neighborhood, but then there's others that do not want us there. Well, in fact, they gave testimony in the council hearing as their perception of the policing efforts of, I think that, I don't want to be misquoted, but I think they called it over-policing. Hmm. But yet there are other residents that welcome us to be in their neighborhood so they can go to and from their house with their children and do that safely, when there's others that are hanging around that do not live in their complex that scare them. And so there's a fine balance between providing public safety for the police department and making sure that those can go home and feel safe and reduce the violence, but then also at the same time is making sure that others do not feel that they're being over-policed. And so that's where the communication part comes in, because when we work with that group, we listen, and then we work together to come up with mutual solutions on how we can keep those residents safe.
Jonathan Brooks, Tulsa's Deputy Chief of Police, and Sergeant Shane Toole, Public Information Officer. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.